Father, we love you this morning. Do you love him?
Yes.
Give him a hand clap if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We give you the praise and the glory. And as always, the entrance of your word brings light. We ask, Lord, that you shine that light in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, let your name also be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory. One more time, give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to talk about rewards and the overcomer's rewards. You say, well, rewards and overcomer's rewards, can't kind of redundant. No, well, because there's all kinds of rewards, but there's also especially the overcomer's rewards. And I know we touched on it briefly, even during the review section. And I said, wow, my lands, that's good. You know, so let's look at this today. The title is Rewards and the Overcomer's Reward. So I'm going to try to go through this very quickly. It's a very long subject, but it'll piggyback on last week's message, and then we'll go forward into this. So first of all, let me define what reward is without using the word reward. So, you know, it's kind of like a recompense or, you know, retribution sometimes. You know, I mean, doing something or giving somebody something, you know, in acknowledgement of either worthy acts, accomplishments, something they've done or whatever, you know, or for good deeds. There's also the other kind of reward, which might be retribution for wrongdoing. Now, there are two kinds of rewards that are mentioned in the Bible. In fact, you say, well, is there a reward for bad works? Absolutely. We've talked about it already in the review session. And the Bible tells us, look, don't reward evil for evil, but contrarywise, good. Amen? So there's reward. I mean, one time Jacob, you know, said, look, Laban, I've done good for you all the time. You know, but you rewarded me evil this many years. You've changed my wages so many times and so on and so forth. You know, so that kind of reward is a bad one. You know, somebody did them good, but they did them bad. You know, but today I want to try to cover the one side of the spectrum more especially. The reward spectrum has the good and the bad. But let's try to see the good reward. Now, what is the purpose of good reward? Even for younger folks in elementary school and so forth, they have this thing called positive reinforcement. When you say something that you're going to, you know, they try to use these methods to get the people to do something good, to be good citizens and so on. If I announce right here, just like when I was looking for my Bible a minute ago, if I say right now, I've lost my phone, my cell phone, and there is a $20 reward for the person that finds it, all the young people will jump up right now because they want to earn that reward. Is that not true? Yeah, you know. Sometimes people say, well, I've lost my cat. I see it every time I walk in my neighborhood, they post it, reward. You know, they lost their cat, they lost their dog. They have a reward, you know, post reward. Even authorities use reward. You know, we're looking for this wanted person. You know, if your tip leads to the arrest of the person and so on, you know, that's a reward. Yeah, that's a reward. And those kind of rewards are to try to get people motivated to do something good. Praise the Lord. There's also the retribution part kind of reward, which is supposed to deter or, you know, prevent us from trying to do the wrong thing. If you say, look, you know, when babies are little, they don't understand that. You know, when they start crying and say, you know, if you tell them that you're going to put them in timeout, they don't know what you're talking about. They keep crying anyway, but they don't understand it. You know, and as they grow older, when you tell them that, look, if you don't behave yourself, you will be in timeout when other kids are playing, or that night you want to go spend with your friend, you won't be going, or you won't be going to the mall, or you this and that. You know, they begin to, as they get older, they start to understand. How many of you are still with me? You know, so there's some kind of punishment, you know, that may help us prevent us from doing the wrong thing. Now, I'm going to say something that's a little graphic here. By the time a person can no longer, you know, respond to positive reward or the fear of punishment, which is a negative kind, when a person gets to that state, their soul is lost. Hello? Well, if they don't, they can't respond, nothing good motivates them to do good, and the fear of punishment does not prevent them from wanting to do evil, I mean, from doing evil, they are in serious problems. Only God can break that vicious cycle. Amen? Now, so it's very dangerous when we don't pay attention to warning signs. You know, we read last week, you know, in Proverbs 29 verse 1, a person being often reproved and hardens his neck and so on shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, but, you know, that's the other side. You know, so when God warns us for all these things, you know, and let me talk about all the things that from Genesis to Revelation, God talks about reward, both kinds. You know, and we're going to go through some of them very quickly in a few minutes. But I'm laying the background here. You know, and there was a time that God put all kinds of things in front of them. And when he did, if you read the three chapters, Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30, you will see how God laid and put so many things in front of the children of Israel. And here's what Moses, the servant of the Lord, you know, said at the end of it in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now remember, most people know this Deuteronomy 28, where it talks about a lot of blessings and a lot of cursings and so forth. But you have to read not only the 28th chapter, read the 29th chapter, and read the 30th chapter as well to get a full picture of what he's saying. But at when he begins to get into the 29th and 30th chapters, I'm going to read just a few words out of there. Now, 29, Deuteronomy, verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Praise the Lord. Now, so, there are certain things, you know, given to us, and the reward. In this case, the reward is kind of hidden, but the reward is that you may prosper. But you must do something. You know, if you keep the words of this covenant and you do them, the reward is you will prosper in all that you do. How many of you say amen? Amen. Now, ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God and captains of your tribes, your children, everybody. And he told them, he said, look, I want you to know that you are entering into a covenant. You read that in verse 12. And a covenant this day with the Lord your God and so forth. You know, the Lord is going to put that covenant before you. Now, let's keep quickly to chapter 30 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 30 and 15. He said, look, I am setting today before you life, you know, and good on one side, and death and evil on the other side. And he says to them, look, I call in verse 19, you know, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now, that's serious business, folks. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But then he encourages them, you know, that you should choose, you know, choose life and so forth like that. You know, that you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice, that you may cleave unto him all the days of your life. You know, why? Listen, look at this. Verse 20, very precious. Very, very precious. He says, why should you cleave to the Lord? Why should you obey his voice? Very precious. Because the Lord is your life. Hallelujah. He is not just that he's going to give you life. No, he is your very life. Hallelujah. And he is the length of your days. Amen. So that's the reason why you better cleave unto him. You better open your ears to his voice and hearken and do those things. So those are rewards. It's very, very precious, you know, precious rewards, you know. So, choose life that you may live. you know, and so forth like that. You know, this is what God wants you to do. You know, he doesn't want you to choose the judgment and the cursing and all of these things, but he wants you to choose life that you may lead. So let me take us back to some places where God promised some things. This is perhaps one of the greatest promises of a reward that you're going to find in that Bible. And we're going to find it right in the book of Genesis. You know, and God put it out there. It is so wonderful. Let's look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. I was looking into the scriptures for this rewards message. I said, man, this has got to be the best of them all. And the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, you know, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield. Hallelujah. And thy exceeding great reward. Now, I want you to notice what the Lord said there. The Lord didn't say, I will give you an exceeding great reward. I am your reward. Hallelujah. When you get the Lord, you got everything. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that if you understand it. Praise the Lord. Now, some people don't understand that because most people want financial reward, you know, blessing, multiplication of material goods, and all of these things. And all these things are wonderful. But if you got the Lord, you already got those things. Praise the Lord. That's right. If the Lord gives you himself. Oh my. Even the Bible says, the Lord that spared not his own son. How shall he not freely with him give us all these things? You know, so the greatest blessing and the reward is for the Lord himself to be your reward. Praise the Lord. So don't look at, you know, when you're doing something, don't ever mind what some people... Never mind that. The Lord is your exceeding great reward. And he'll take care of it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So right away from the Bible, from the start of the Bible, we see that God is talking about reward. And I'm going to look at some examples of people that he rewarded based on the lifestyle that they lived. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, there is the judgment. You know, when we don't do the right thing, and then there's retribution for wrongdoing. That's another kind of reward. But I don't want to focus on that today. I'm hoping that I can do some positive reinforcement today. Amen. Amen, folks. I can provoke some people to good works because of the rewards that are promised. Hallelujah. Now, the judgment of God, hallelujah, can also make people to be afraid and shaping up. You know, but if somebody is not motivated by good works and is not afraid of the judgment of God, their soul is lost. You know, that's a very sad place to be. But, you know, the Bible says, even though we thus speak, we are persuaded better things of you. Amen. We are persuaded better things of everybody that is here. I'm just talking generally. Nobody's soul that is in here is lost. Amen. Because we fear the Lord. And if you are borderline still not fearing the Lord, well, you know, we are telling you daily, fear the Lord. Cleave unto him. Obey his voice, that he may be well with you. Choose the life, because the Lord is your life. Amen. Now, let's go through the scriptures quickly. And see the places where God promised reward. Now, when we preach the word of God, we don't want your mind to be based on our much speaking or how well we can eloquently bring the thing. You know, that's why we always bring it from the scriptures. So that when you leave this place, you can also search the scriptures and see whether those things be so. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some scriptures that talk about reward. Now, these scriptures, starting from so many parts of the Bible, begin to talk about reward. And let's look at some of them very quickly. I'm going to look at some scriptures in the New Testament and even some scriptures in the Old Testament talking about the same thing. Let me start from the New Testament. In the book of Colossians, let us start from chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 23 and 24. And we've read this here a few weeks ago, you know, so, you know, this one is talking about what we do, how we should do it. He says, and whatsoever ye do, can somebody say whatsoever? Whatsoever. Come on, folks, whatsoever? Whatsoever. Yeah, whatsoever you do. That's whatsoever, folks. That's what, not just some things. No, that's whatsoever you do. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen? Why? Why should you do that?
Well, because there is a reward.
Now listen to verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance.
Because you serve the Lord Christ and you don't serve men.
Amen.
So let that be a motivation unto good works. That you will do things that you are doing as unto the Lord, whether anybody else joins you or not.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me go quickly through some of these, through some of these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I am going to read from verse 8. Talking about planting, we talked about this today. Somebody plants, somebody waters, and so forth like that. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And you're not going to receive somebody else's reward. Your reward. Now, we are all laborers together with God. For ye are God's husbandry, and we are God's building. Now, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and other foundation can nobody lay, and so forth, like that, you know. But let everybody be careful how they build upon this foundation, you know. Now, he says, look, if you build upon this foundation, you can build precious stones, you can build silver, you can build gold, you can also build wood, hay, and stubble. Now, you see, the spectrum is divided. On the one side, there's gold, silver and precious stones. Those are good kinds of works. On the other side, there is wood, hay, and stubble. Now, when you put fire to these things, the raw metals will survive. This other side on these other things on this side will burn off. The wood will burn, the hay will burn, and the stubble will burn. But the gold will actually get better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Every man's work shall be tested and tried by fire. Yeah, to see what kind it is. We talked about some of that last week. We were talking, can God use these things to purge? Yeah, I want to see what you're made of. You know, so every man's work will be tried to see what you are made of. Now, if your work survives, you know, then you will receive a reward. But if your work is burned, then you shall suffer loss. Even though you yourself, you know, will be saved, but you suffer loss. You know, and so it's like, you know, I remember when I was in high school, they used to have this so-called prize giving day. And everybody would line up, the parents and everything. And then they call your name and call this person's name. Some people get prizes, some people get nothing. And the people that didn't get anything, they were embarrassed. And some people would shine and get a lot of prizes. Praise the Lord. Well, it's the same also in the kingdom of God. It's going to be rewards, folks. I'm hoping that this message will motivate you to do good things for the Lord. Amen. In the book of Matthew chapter 16. Let me move quickly along here. Matthew 16 and verse 27. He says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, there's so many scriptures that talk about this same thing. You know, so it is very important when God repeats something many times over in the scriptures. Jesus is bringing his reward with him. In the book of Isaiah, these same scriptures are quoted from even Isaiah. Isaiah 40, let's look at verse 10 quickly. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. It's talking about the Lord, he said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. So the Lord is bringing his reward. This same scripture, similar, you can find in the book of, Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, and behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Hallelujah. He's coming, folks, and he's bringing that reward. Now, you better be laying up treasure for yourself, you know, in heaven. We are neither wrath
rust nor moth can corrupt, and thieves cannot break in and steal. And the, how you lay treasure in heaven, it are the works that you do. You know, Paul and Timothy and so forth always encourage them, let our own be careful to maintain good works. Amen? The which if a man should do, you know, you get a reward. You know, it's good that we should maintain good works. Those who have believed God should also maintain good works. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. This scripture quotes the same thing that we have been quoting in all these other verses. And behold, I come quickly. In the other places, prophets were saying that the Lord was going to do it in Isaiah. But the Lord is saying it here himself. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. To give every man or woman according as his work shall be. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, if that doesn't motivate you to do good things, well, you know, I don't know what is going to motivate you. But God is bringing his reward with him. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some rewards. And I'm going to try to quickly go through these rewards and then go to the overcomer's rewards. Let's look at some rewards that God has out there. Now, there are all kinds of rewards. There are immediate rewards. There are short-term rewards. There are long-term rewards. And there are even eternal rewards. I mean, rewards, you know, that go on forever in heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes because reward is not always immediate, any kind of reward, whether good or bad, you know, sometimes when people's reward for good works don't come immediately, they may get weary and stop. You'll find that exhortation in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. Continue doing it. Because in due season, you will reap the reward if you do not give up. Hallelujah. So sometimes when the reward for good works is not coming, well, I'm the only one that's at the IBG. Well, I'm the only one that's in the outreach. I'm the only one that is there. When you begin to think that, you know, you may get discouraged. You know, maybe you don't see an immediate reward. Do not faint. In due season, you will reap. Hallelujah. Now, again, because good works, because evil deeds may not also be punished immediately, sometimes men's hearts are hardened to continue to do the wrong thing. But there is a day of reckoning coming, folks. Amen. There is always a day of reckoning coming. Now, for the young children and the youth and so forth, listen to this. Because, you know, you say, well, you know, I'm a young person. I can do anything I want. Maybe, and maybe not. You know, but let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, you say, well, will God, you know, all the things that we do and so forth, you know, will God bring us into judgment for them? Well, absolutely. Rejoice, O young man, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. He's saying it kind of like a tongue in the cheek, you know. Rejoice in your youth. Let your heart shed in the days of your youth. Do whatever you want. Walk in the ways of your heart. Do anything you like and so forth. But I want you to know this, he said, that for all these things, the Lord will bring thee into judgment. How many of you can say amen to that? That's right. Well, I know it's sobering. You didn't say amen. But say amen to the word of God. It is the word of God. You know, so look, you can say, well, I can do anything I want. You know, I can do this, I can do that. Well, fine. This scripture is saying kind of like, you know, yeah, go ahead and do it. But remember, God will bring you into the judgment. So that's the other negative kind of reward. So the flip side of this scripture is to say, look, rather than fall into the fiery judgment of God, you know, straighten up life right now and walk in his ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all you young people, you know, don't do this thing that this scripture is saying. Don't while away the time and say, well, I can do anything I want while I'm young and so forth like that. No. Because God will bring you into judgment for all those crazy things, you know, so you better straighten up and live your life for God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and verses 41 to 42. I'm getting into the rewards, you know, some specific rewards right now. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. Now, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Hello? And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, read the next verse to help you to understand it. You know, and whosoever shall give drink to one of these little ones, a cup of water and so forth, only in the name of a disciple, or because they are a disciple, and another scripture says it like that, verily I say unto you, they shall in no wise lose their reward. That means whatever you do for the Lord or for the Lord's people, no matter how little it may, you may think it is, just give a cup of water or help, you need the help, you know, lend a helping hand. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose your reward. Now Jesus didn't exactly say when that reward will be, but he promised you that you will not lose the reward. Amen. It can be immediate, it can be short term, it can be long term, it can even be in eternity, but you will get your reward. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Matthew chapter 6, let's read the first 6 verses and see some things that the Lord said here about some things, specific things that he can reward people for. Now, these are good deeds that we do. Take heed that you don't do your alms before men. You know, that's alms, that's, you know, give offering or give whatever, you know, blow your horn that you did this and you did that. Well, Jesus said, don't do that. You know, he said, look, but some people like to blow their horn. Their own home. He said, don't do that. He said, but when you do these things, do it secretly. And he said unto them, when you do it secretly, you know, God is going to reward you. But if you blow your own horn, listen to the way Jesus said in verse 2. For those that like to blow their own horn of all the good things they've done and so forth, he said, well, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Their reward is the praise of men. You can't get both kinds of reward, folks. Amen? You can't get the praise of men and get the praise of God. You have to determine which one you want. Now, if you like to let people praise you and so forth like that, you know, then you get your reward there. But if you don't worry about the praise of men, then you get the reward from God. Now, but when you do your alms, don't even let your left hand know what your... Now, people have never understood that scripture. You know, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I mean, just do it between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, look, when you do it like that, your father himself that sees what you did in secret will reward you, what? Openly. So works that are done in secret unto the Lord between, you don't need anybody to know. It's kind of like intercessory prayer. You know, it's not the one that gets the glory. You don't get the glory of standing here with the mic like I do and preach and so forth. But you are praying in your closet. Those prayers that you pray in your closet, God will reward you openly. Amen. Amen. Now, it's the same thing. That's what he talks about in the next verse. Say, when thou prayest, don't be as the hypocrites. People take notice of what Jesus called hypocritical kind of prayer. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they long to stand in the synagogues and kabatokele nebo shatara. You know? Now, if the Holy Ghost move you to do that, that's wonderful. But if you are just doing it so that people can know that you know how to pray, you have your reward. Amen, folks? That's right. Some people say, Father, this and that and so forth. As if God is dead. God is not deaf. Hallelujah. You can speak to the Lord and he hears you already. Even before you spoke, he heard you already. Amen. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit can bring groanings in prayer. You know, I know that, and I understand that. But what Jesus is talking about is hypocritical prayer. That just like, sometimes in other places, say, look, they devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, they make long prayer, and so on. You know, I do all these kind of things. Jesus saw through them. Hallelujah. He said, but look, you don't be like them. When you pray, enter your closet. Hallelujah. Most of the time, when the disciples were sleeping, Jesus was on the mountaintop praying. You know, and they never knew how he prayed, because he didn't pray in their presence. That's why they had to come and ask him, look, teach us how to pray. Hallelujah. Because he wasn't praying in their presence at all. If he was praying in their presence, they wouldn't have asked him that. You know, but he was always praying. When they were sleeping, he would be praying. So he finally asked him, teach us to pray. You know, so don't be like that hypocrites. Amen. You know, pray in your closet. God, that or now, does that mean that we shouldn't have prayer meetings? Absolutely not. You know, you have to read the whole scripture. You can't just take one verse. You know, there's prayer meeting also, you know, and there's all these other things in the prayer, in the Bible and so forth. But the point is, let's not be a show off. Amen. That's the point. And also, don't use vain repetitions as if God doesn't know what you're talking about. You know, well, maybe he won't even when you use too much vain stuff, you know, but, you know, go directly. God knows what you're saying. Now, so there's reward for prayer. Prayer that is prayed sincerely between you and God, God will reward you openly. Amen. Now, there's also reward for, you know, so many other things he talks about here, even when you fast. When you fast, don't wear a long face and let everybody know that you are fasting and so forth. You have your reward when you do that, because that's hypocritical just for people to praise you. But do your fasting. Never mind that. Clean up your face. Don't look like this if you are fasting. You know, put on a cheerful smile and so on. And then God will reward you openly. Amen. Amen. So all these things he talks about and treasures upon the earth and all that. So let me move on. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, there are many stories in that chapter that talk about rewards. Some of them we've preached on when we talked on the talents. The talent story, you can read it in Matthew 25. And there are two verses I want to point to, 21 and 23, where he gives reward, you know, thou good and faithful servant, he said, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's a reward. So reward for the person that had a talent and went and used it appropriately. God gave him two. He went and used it and got two more. Produced 100%. The one that had five, he went and used it and also produced 100%. As far as God was concerned, both of them did exactly the same thing. Amen. Even though this one came up with five and the other one came up with two, they both did the same thing because it was according to their several ability. And they both got the same commendation. Verse 21, for the one that produced the two more on top of their two. And verse 23, for the one that produced five more upon their five. You know, so, but the one that got the one, you know, he was a wicked servant and didn't do anything. And he got the reward also, but a different kind of reward. His own was, the gift was taken from him, given to the one that already had the most. And he was thrown into outer darkness. And Jesus said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, because, you know, when the other people are entering into the joy of the Lord, he will be far from the presence of the Lord. When you're far from the presence of the Lord in the kingdom to come, it's like outer darkness. You don't even have to be in heaven. I mean, you don't even have to be in hell, I meant to say. But just being away, too far away from him, it's like being in darkness. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a deep subject. I don't want to get into that. But anyway, let's look at also Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. There's reward for enduring persecution. I'm talking about different kinds of rewards now. You know, in Matthew 5, 12, it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad when people persecute you and so forth. You know, they persecuted all the other, you know, the false people persecuted the prophets, you know, and all of that. You know, said, look, when you do this, you know, when you do this, he said, great shall be your reward in heaven. Amen. Now, this is one place where he actually promised the reward in heaven. He didn't say be rewarded here. You know, so you have to pay attention to these rewards because, you know, when you are being persecuted, it might be a lifetime thing that you have to keep enduring. You know, just because you don't get a reward in one day, he didn't say you get it in one day. Now, there's another scripture that says, well, he'll bless you here on earth, but he'll also bless you in heaven. But in this particular place, he says, great will be your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. So you keep on doing it. You keep on fighting the good fight. You don't give up, and you will get a crown of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some examples, some other examples of, physical examples of people. I'm going to try to go through this very quickly. Enoch. in Genesis 5 and 24, walked with God, and for being faithful and walking with God and so forth like that. Now, that's a deep subject of how he walked with God. God rewarded him by translating him. Amen. Amen, folks. There are some two people in the book of Luke, chapter 2. One of them is called Simeon. You know, they were rewarded, and the other one is called Anna. They were rewarded for daily, you know, praying and these kind of things and just waiting upon the Lord for years. And for Simeon, you can read it in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. He was a just man, fearing God and praying and waiting for the consolation of Israel and so on and so forth. And God revealed it to him. Hallelujah. That, you know, he will not die until he sees the Lord's Christ. And he was rewarded for his faithfulness, faithfully praying and seeking the Lord on all day, all the days of his life. One day, he was rewarded by seeing the Christ. Hallelujah! The Christ came in, was brought in as a little boy into his temple, and he saw that. The Anna, who was also a prophetess at that time, she also praying daily in prayers in the church and so forth like that. She also, even though she was an old woman, a widow at the time, faithfully serving the Lord, she also was rewarded to see the glory of the Lord. Amen. So those rewards are there. Now, Dorcas, in the book of Acts chapter 9, we are told that in verses 36 to 42, there's a story of Dorcas. She was somebody that did a lot for the saints, did all kinds of things. One day, she died. Well, that's a sad story. But the end of it was that through the grace of God, by the hands of Peter, she was brought back to life. Amen? Because God rewarded her for her faithfulness. Even the people, they told Peter, when Peter came there, they said, oh, look at all the wonderful clothes she used to sew for us and all these things she used to do and so on, you know. And they talked about the good works that the woman had. And the Lord remembered her. Hallelujah. You say good works? Absolutely. God remembered her for all those who good works, and she was raised back to life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 10, we see the story of Cornelius. The Bible says right away from verse 1 that he was a just and devout man, even though he was not of the household of Israel, the centurion and all of that and so on. But we see that, you know, he served the Lord. How did he serve the Lord in a way? Even though he didn't know the Lord, what he did was good works. He was doing alms and he was doing good works and so forth. And God said, well, you know, you are doing it unto me. God was doing it unto the children of Israel, you know. Even the people testified of him, you know, and so forth. So, you know, and later on, God rewarded him because he brought salvation to his house and filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you can see how faithfulness and standing by the things that we do brings, reward. Also, perseverance. I already talked about that in Galatians 6 and 9. Do not give up. Paul himself gave his own example in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He talked about, you know, verse 8. You can read the first few verses before that. He talked about, look, I fought the good fight. I've done this, I've done that, and so forth. But he said, look, I'm ready to be offered up and all of these things and so forth. But henceforth, he said in verse 8, there is laid up for me now. Can you say amen? Because of fighting the good fight. Because of keeping the faith and not giving up. He said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So we can extrapolate from that. That anybody that does the same kind of things also, there will be a crown of righteousness for them. Amen. Because he said it right here. He said, not only for me, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Moving on here. James chapter 1 and verse 21. And in this last few minutes, I'm going to talk about the overcomers. Rewards. Overcomers, rewards. I don't have a lot of time to go into too many things today, but I'll drop the subject. You go do some more research, and perhaps God will motivate us to good works. Amen. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that overcometh, you know, not only endure, but overcomes temptation. Amen. Endure means he didn't fall into it. Because when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. So it's like an overcomer, you know, which the Lord promised to them that love him. So that's an overcomer's reward right there for overcoming temptation. Don't give in to all the things of, you know, the world and so forth. Overcome. And there is a great reward from the Lord. Amen. Now, how do you overcome? Well, that's a subject for another day. I don't have time for it today. But let's see some promises in the book of Revelation that Jesus talked about overcomers. Now, the fact that Jesus specifically referred to them as overcomers reward means there must be somewhat to overcome. You know, that means you've gone through some things and then you are overcoming. Praise the Lord. The first couple of chapters, especially chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, talks about the letters that Jesus commanded John to write to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor at the time. Now, take notice of the way I said that. Because most people have said that, well, it's at the seven churches and so forth. Well, perhaps. But, you know, the physical message was given to those physical churches at the time. The danger in thinking that you're just church age messages is that people just focus on one that they say is Laodicea and they forget to read the others. But in every single one of those messages, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him do what? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Plural. You must read everyone. He's telling them, read every one of those messages to even all the other churches. Don't just read one to your own church and so forth. Read every one of them. So every single one of those applies to us today. Praise the Lord. Let's go through the promises real quickly. And if I read something here that makes you to shout and you want to, you know, make it, it motivates you, you know, this is supposed to motivate us to want to attain to the goal of the overcomer. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to be an overcomer, if you hear something here, you are free to shout the victory. Now, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He that overcometh. Now, what are you going to overcome? Well, you have to read all the things he said to them in that church age, but I don't have time to read that. But if you overcome, anyhow, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. How many of you can say amen to that? Well, Adam, he lost that opportunity, but God's going to give it to you if you overcome. Praise the Lord. Right to the tree of life. That is so wonderful. I don't see people excited here this morning. The right to the tree of life, folks. Man, you ought to be shouting and praising the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Verse 11. In verse 11, he says to the church in Smyrna. The other one was to Ephesus. Now in Smyrna, he says to them, you know, he that hath an ear again, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You are passed from death unto life. Shall live eternally. Amen. Now let's jump to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. Praise ye in the name of the Lord. This is to Pergamos. And he said to them, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Ooh. My mama. Oh my goodness. And I will give him a white stone. You say stone? Well, I don't have time to go into that today. And in that stone, a new name that is written. And nobody but God and you will know what that new name is. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, those are wonderful promises, especially that hidden manna. Hidden manna, nobody can figure it out. But God will give it to you if you can overcome. Praise the Lord. Now we can get a taste of that right here on earth as we go through. But, you know, some of these are great, great promises. In the book of Revelation, the same Revelation chapter 2, from verses 26 to 28. You know, he begins to talk to this other church in Thyatira and so forth. And he says to them, and he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end. See, now, this, you know, some of these promises, you may not, the rewards, you may not gain them here on earth, maybe later. He that overcometh and keeps my works to the end. You can't just start the race. You've got to keep going until the end. What will happen to that such a person? To him will I give power over the nations. Hallelujah. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's right. Put them in line. Every one of them. Praise the Lord. As a potter's vehicle, they have been on and so forth. Even as I have received of my Father, I'm going to give the same to this person that overcomes and keeps my works to the end. Well, that's a wonderful promise. That should motivate us to keep on keeping on. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Quickly, let me finish up here. Chapter 3 and verse 5. It begins to talk to Sardis. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Ooh. I mean, isn't that wonderful? Your name. Well, some people will have their names blotted out. You know, that verse right there tells you some names were there, but they will be blotted out. But your name will not be blotted out if you overcome. Amen. But you must overcome. Praise the Lord. And it, not only will he not blot out your name, I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Those are wonderful promises. Verse 12. He said, you know, Philadelphia and so forth. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God? Well, he said temple. Well, that's a different kind of temple that will be open later on, you know. And he said, he shall go no more out, but I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. New Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven and so forth. I will also write upon him my new name. Woo! The Lord Jesus will reveal a new name in the life to come. And he's going to write it upon you if you overcome. Praise the Lord. Finally, Revelation 3 and 21. To him that overcometh, the church of Laodicea, if you overcome all these things that he warned them against, you know, if you overcome, I will grant you a place to sit with me in my throne. My goodness. I will grant you to sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and I sat with my Father in his throne. Now, there is no greater promise, folks. You will sit with the Lord in his own throne. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. If you understand these promises, I want you to give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. We're out of time. We're out of time, so I'm going to close it there. What I want to challenge us with today is having, therefore, dearly beloved, these promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And many promises that God gives in the Bible, they are also in the form of rewards. Because those promises carry, most of them have a condition that must be fulfilled for the promise. I don't have time to go into, I had many others that I wanted to deal with, but I didn't have time. But every time he says, if you do this, I will do this, then that's a promise, but it's also like a reward. That means if you fulfill the condition, you will get a reward for fulfilling the condition. And the reward will be the fulfillment of the promise in your life. Hallelujah. If the Lord said, if you will keep my words and hearken to all my voice and do all of my statutes and keep my commandments, then I will not put upon you any of these diseases which I put upon the Egyptians. So when you keep all those things, then the reward for keeping those things is kind of like the promise after that, which is I will remove the sicknesses from the midst of you. How many of you can say amen? Amen. My hope and my prayer today, let's lift up our hands and I'm going to pray. My hope and my prayer today is that through these wonderful promises, God will challenge us. He said, these promises are given unto us, great and exceeding promises of rewards, that through them we might become partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is something that never gives up. When God speaks the word, it's done as far as he's concerned. Amen. And Jesus, he never gave up. He suffered many things, you know, and so forth, but he never gave up. He had his goal and his eyes set on the goal that was before him. Father, look at these hands that are raised. Raise your hand, everybody. I want you to say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. that I may keep your works until the end. For there is a great reward that you have promised to those that keep your works until the end. And Father, I pray for every one of us, Lord, because you said, I am coming soon. And my reward is with me to give to every man as his work shall be. Father, let our works be of gold. Let them be of silver. Let them be of precious stones. Let them even be of platinum. Let them be great things that will not burn in the fire. Hallelujah. Let not our works be of wood. Let them not be of hay. And let not be of stubble. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that through the promises of these rewards, our hearts will be motivated and provoked unto good works for the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The praise team may come up quickly.